Tejasvinavaditamastu mavidevishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. So page 12. Srila Prabhupada comments. It is said, Vridhatvam Vayasavina. Did we go through this? No, education, no. No, he, okay, yeah. No, Vishru. Okay, and therefore. The demigods explained that this would not be a cause for hesitation of them offering respect to Vishru. He could become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit advises, Nichad ap yutamam jnanam. One may accept education from a member of a lower social order. The brahmanas, the members of the most elevated varna, are teachers, but a person in a lower family, such as a family of kshatriyas, vaishyas, or even shudras, may be accepted as a teacher if he has knowledge. So that would be in anything, just like the king. He might learn wrestling from a wrestler who's a shudra, right? Because he has that knowledge. Now, if there's a brahman who knows it, he would learn from him, but whoever has the knowledge, you learn from them. The difference is that the brahman will always be respected in all fields, you know, just as a Brahmin. While, let's say, if you have a Shudra who's a teacher in that area of knowledge, then he'll be respected. Outside of that, then he's not guru. Does that make sense? Yes.
So this is mainly skill, isn't it?
No, it's just knowledge in general. So of this, then one, it means, we're taking it from two angles. One, meaning that if somebody who has the knowledge, you can learn from them. Just like, let's say you want to learn how to drive a car, right? So who knows, they can teach you, right? But it's not necessarily you'll ask them, you know, what's the goal of life? You understand?
Yes.
But let's say a Brahmin is teaching you teach driving. You could also ask him, what's the goal of life?
Where am I going?
Yes, where am I going? They can only teach you how to drive. They can't teach you where to go. They can see this.
But so the sutra, generally we would say, you define him as a sutra based on lack of character in some sense.
That or just no occupation. So he may have the character. But the point is you would also try to find someone with enough character that you could relate to and deal properly. You know? But then when we move into the higher, when you have transcendental knowledge, then that you can learn from anyone, and you can ask beyond, you know, just because the transcendental knowledge deals with everything. So someone who may be a shudra by occupation, he may be able to advise you in spiritual life and like this. Uh-huh. That's a whole different category. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So the point is, since they need a yajna done, he knows how to do that, then he's qualified. But because he knows Brahman, he's qualified beyond just that.
The thing is, we usually talk about how you have skill and you have character, you have karma and guna,
yes.
And it's actually the guna. So it sounds like now we're talking about, well, you have to...
No, but the point is knowledge itself can be learned from that person. It doesn't mean you associate. Just because I learned driving from him, I don't invite him over for dinner.
But if he lacks character, wouldn't it be...
Point is,
there's a risk that he would. This may be true, but then on this.
That what's the point is? He's driving a car.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, if he tells you to, you know, park in the middle of the road, or you know, triple parking, you know, or parking on the sidewalk, or hey, do a, you know, Schwarzenegger and drive through the front, you know, front of the florist shop, and then just get out of your car in the shop and then buy your flowers. Then you might say, okay, maybe there's some problem here.
Fun.
Practical. Yeah.
Yeah, and fun. But.
Actually, initially we learn like as a brahmachari in the gurukul under the brahmana, and rest all we add. So
rest is your adding. So the point is when it comes to the practical, whoever has the knowledge can teach it.
Mm-hmm.
whoever has the skill can do it. Just like, you know, like fixing your internet. You get a guy who knows the internet. So one of the other, you know, Pujaris knows how to fix it, he fixes it. If not, then you get someone who knows how to fix it. You know what I'm saying? So there is that balance. But the point is ultimately it's about the spiritual. That doesn't have any restrictions. But the point is if knowledge doesn't have restriction, and that's on a lower level, you know, and then why wouldn't bhakti and transcendental, the paravidya, definitely wouldn't have any restriction. Mm-hmm. Right? But if within that you have someone higher, then why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like if someone has this knowledge, but someone else has the knowledge and the character, you'd naturally learn from the person with the character.
I'm still having difficulty with it, because if I don't have the knowledge, how will I be able to discern whether someone else has the knowledge? I could do that based on the character.
Ask others who have knowledge.
Maybe this is in an emergency situation, like you need to learn something.
No, this is a generic. This is a generic rule.
I don't get it either.
What is missing?
For me,
it's okay, you're walking down the street and you don't know where to go. And you ask someone which way is where you're going. Do they have to be a Brahmin to tell you?
No, but that's not teaching me something.
Let's say you want to learn piano.
Yeah.
Who do you learn from?
A sutra that knows piano.
The person knows piano. Now, if there's a Brahmin who knows piano, you learn from them, great. But you learn from someone who knows piano.
But that's, you said that sutras teach art.
Piano is an art.
Yeah, I know. So this is...
But Shudras don't know mantras and yajnas, so therefore we don't have to worry about asking them. Right? But let's say it's about making a yajna kunda. There are Shudras that they specialize in making kundas. They know all the shastra to deal with that. So all they do is say what kind of yajna you're doing, which shastra you're going by. So you say, okay, we're doing this yajna, we're using Ahir Bhutnyaya, and then say, oh, okay, so you want a kund like this.
Yeah.
Like that. You understand?
Yeah.
But they're a shudra of that. But how to do the yajna, that would be a Brahmin. So we have to be able to discern that there's different areas of knowledge. We have to be able to...
Okay, so this is talking about...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Is that okay? Okay. Yes, he is, but here it was just a matter of age. But it's making the point is that when it comes to knowledge, it doesn't matter who knows it. If they know it, you can learn from them. So therefore, if they're older, younger, you know, these things aren't actually a consideration.
And another point, are there Brahmins who know that they cannot teach?
Yeah, they may not be good teachers, they do, but you can ask them things, but they may not be able to run a something that you can do. But if you just associate with them, in other words, if you just assist and serve, you just follow, you just assist them doing what they do, then in that way you'll learn, even though they don't know how to teach. So just by association you'll catch it. Because the point is practical things you learn by association.
I guess, what is the definition, you know, if everyone is teaching, then what's the definition?
We're not saying everyone's teaching. We're saying you can learn knowledge from somebody who knows it.
But
how many people know something?
Few?
Yes, so therefore you only have to worry about a few people. And if those things that they know, is that an area you want to know about? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if it is, then you could learn from that.
Yeah. By their ability to teach or by association?
No, by their, that they have the knowledge. We're not saying they're teachers.
Okay.
We're saying they know the knowledge. Let's say the shudra knows carpentry. That doesn't mean he's a teacher of carpentry. But he learned carpentry by hanging out with another carpenter. Right? He didn't have to go to a Brahmin who, you know, formally taught him how carpentry worked. Does this make sense? Right? In other words, we have to be able to go beyond just our initial understanding of the language that let us understand the point in the first, when we've learned something about this point in an earlier stage. Because if we get attached to how the words work, that's what gets in the way. Like I said, you can learn from someone, but I've never said they're a teacher. I said you could learn from them. But then you're taking it, no, they're a teacher. How can they be a teacher? Only Brahmins can be teachers. So this is where the problem comes. You're using your old definitions. So you have to expand that. Does that make sense? That's the point. Okay?
Because in material education, we only get the knowledge of Shudras. So nowadays, like we have
like
leather technology, all these things.
Yeah, but they learn to be Shudras.
Yeah. So that is why we have always overlapping, bringing that aspect into this, comparing them as Brahman.
Oh, you mean why that question comes up?
Yes, because we always... When people say that Brahmanas teach, they take...
They teach as an occupation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, same times when it comes to arts, Shudras can teach arts. Yeah. They can't teach the Veda, because they don't know it. But if they're devotees, then Vaishnavas, doesn't matter what your occupation, they can teach Veda. Yeah. Because they know what the transcendental position of it. Does my sense? Yes.
I had a nice story, but generally earlier times, even if Shudras knew something more, generally they don't interfere in the social structure. There was a king, Bhoja, he comes to one village once, and then he was going, there was an old lady, and then he was a little like proud at that time. And the old lady defeats him, and every word he speaks, she counter argues and defeats him thoroughly. And he was shocked that, like, how can an old lady defeat him? And then afterwards she was doing her own thing, and she just explained, you need not be proud of your knowledge. And she went on her way, and then she's never noticed afterwards that they don't just interfere even though.
Love it. But, okay, you're saying not interfere.
When people say that, like, they don't occupy the position of a teacher.
Yeah, no, but it's there socially. I remember it was when one sannyasi was in Vrindavan, and he was going on Vrindavan Parikram. This was back when it actually was dust, you know, not asphalt with tractors. And but he would wear his shoes. And he's coming around, and he comes to one point, when you come to that point where that Radhe Shyam well, you know, you shout into, you know that one? Everyone knows that one? Yeah? Because nowadays, not necessarily all devotees learn about that well. And so, he was there, and this old lady came by. You know, white hair, and, you know, white sari, but look, you know, looking distinguished, dignified. And she made some comment about that if he didn't wear the shoes, then it's considered, you know, more appropriate, so you actually will be getting more benefit. So for his benefit, she was just mentioning like that. And then he said, no, but then sometimes, you know, you get, you know, blisters or cuts or something on your feet. And then she says, yes, when I get a cut or like that on my foot, I take some of the dust from Vrindavan and I rub it on it, you know, to cure it.
Yeah.
And then she walked off. You heard that?
Yeah.
So, you know, never saw the lady again.
No.
Don't know where she came from. You know. So, yes. So you can learn. That's why it says you can learn anything. You can learn, you know, good instruction, moral instruction from an immoral person.
Mm.
You know, because they know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They know this is bad. You know, they're in it. And they're, you know, because of their lack of character, they're attached, they're there. And so they can instruct you, don't get involved, it's not good.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this when he expressed this opinion before Ramananda Rai. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulya 8, 128. Kiba Vripra, Kiba Nyasi, Shudra Kene Nai. J. Krishna Tattva Veta, Se Guru Hoy. It does not matter whether one is a Brahmin, Shudra, Grahastha, or Sannyasi. These are all material designations. A spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designations. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his position in human society, he may become a spiritual master, right? So the main discussion is about spiritual master. It's just a side point about knowledge itself, right? Because the main thing is that if you understand transcendental knowledge, that's the real point of discussion. Because otherwise, it's not a big problem on, you know, material things who you learn from. You know, you just find who has some particular qualifications or experience or recommendation and like this. But on the spiritual, you're not looking at the background. You're not looking at these things, right? Because material, you may look at some material symptoms. You know, you go to the place, it looks nicer, it's well kept, then you may think they're better than someone who's run down. But for Vaishnava, you don't worry about what's their situation. Right? They know Krishna, then they're teachers.
Can we say that if somebody is a teacher, it means that he's a Brahmin automatically?
No,
not
if
the skill. Huh? Not the skill. I'm talking about knowledge and teaching.
Such as?
The partners, the occupation.
Then if that's what they do, they teach and all that, yes, you would accept them that way, because that's what they're doing.
And preacher, not necessarily.
A preacher, if all they do is preach, then they take it as a Brahmin. It doesn't mean that there's not some underlying other flavors, you know. But yeah. But they're accepted in that position.
What does this mean? Because if they are Vaishnava, if they're general Krishna, then wouldn't their place be nice? Like, it doesn't have to be opulent, but they would keep it nicely. So what do you mean by you don't take into consideration the situation?
Have you been to Butter Bazaar? Have you been to any, like, traditional Indian market? It's just shops and goods and this and that, right? Have you been to a mall? Okay? So, generally you'd think the mall has better stuff because of the nature of it looks nicer and all that. But the point is the other one may have just as good a stuff. Does this make sense? Means they don't worry about the show.
Yeah. Sometimes they do. A little bit.
That's why they have that funny kind of big fat dupe burning. That's the upgrading it. That's the show. And then they take the water and sprinkle in front of the shop, so there's no dust. And that's as good as it. That's as good as it gets. You know. More than that, then. Yeah, you're asking too much. Otherwise, it's going to come out in the price.
Sometimes there is nothing else in the shop than the.
Yes.
Because it's very small.
Yes, that's all there is. I've seen one shop, it was as big as this rug, or maybe a touch bigger than the rug. It's got tile walls, one gutty on the bottom, one of those little wooden box tables, you know, and a phone. And a fat Marwari guy in a cheap dhoti and a t-shirt with holes in it. Nothing in the shop.
That's the business.
Yeah, but every time he picks up the phone, then huge amounts of money is moving and goods are moving.
That's his office.
That's the whole thing, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's the office. He doesn't need any papers, doesn't need anything. But they're there. You see him in Buddhism. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when all the demigods requested the great Vishwarupa to be their priest, Vishwarupa, who was advanced in austerities, was very pleased. He replied to them as follows. Sri Vishwarupa said, O demigods, although the acceptance of priesthood is decried as causing the loss of previously acquired brahminical power, how can someone like me refuse to accept your personal request? Right, so, in other words, it's not that being a priest is your first option. Right? You know, in other words, studying and teaching the scriptures is always the preferred option. Being a priest is not, because then the point is your potency that you've gained goes into this yajna to be able to do like this. Yes.
What about the reactions also?
Yeah, then you get reacting. It means that's the whole point, is that so much is burnt up in this. So, but it's a bona fide occupation, but it's not considered as good as just studying and teaching. Like that. So here, doing the rituals for others then. But he's saying because of how they're dealing and their etiquette and their proper, you know, proper understanding, how can he refuse? Right? If they came, they didn't have the right attitude, this, and then naturally he'd refuse because it's not about money. You are all exalted commanders of the entire universe. I am your disciple and must take many lessons from you. Therefore, I cannot refuse you. I must agree for my own benefit. Right? He's taking it because he's a nephew of the demigods. Right? Because all these demigods, then they all had children, so Tvashta is one of these demigods, so then his son is Vishwarupa. Srila Prabhupada comments. The professions of a qualified brahmana are patana-patana, yajana-yajana, dana, and pratigraha. The words yajana and yajana-yajana mean that a brahman becomes a priest of the populace for the sake of their elevation. I think we had this exact conversation yesterday. Just making sure.
Yes.
One who accepts the post of spiritual master neutralizes the sinful reactions of the yajamana, the one who, on whose behalf he performs yajna. Thus, the results of the pious acts previously performed by the priest or spiritual master are diminished. Therefore, priesthood is not accepted by learned brahmanas. Nevertheless, the greatly learned brahmana Vishwarupa became the priest of the demigods because of his profound respect for them. Right? Because otherwise, then it's not your first option. Generally, many think that, oh no, this is the first option. No, but actually, it's not. Studying and teaching, that's the first option. Then doing these others. So patana, that'll be your first. Then yajana, then doing yajnas and deity worship and that for others, that would be second. Right? You know, sometimes one does all. Like in our society, one will do all of these.
But they're not for other people, ours are for the deities.
So it's part of their sadhana and training. Sri Vishwarupa continued, O exalted governors of various planets, the true brahmana, who has no material possessions, maintains himself by the profession of accepting
Silanchana. Footnote 1. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Shila refers to corn left by the owner of a field. Unchanam means taking grains that have fallen down in the marketplace. So this is what we call rita. Manu calls rita. It means taking that which is left over, no one wants. They harvest the field, stuff falls, leaves that's there, or in the marketplace after the market closes, there's grains left and all this. So means just accepting that. It's what no one else wants, so therefore no one can get jealous, feel bad, because it'll be considered on one level better than, let's say, begging. Because begging, then maybe the person will appreciate your coming, maybe not. But this is, it's just left. That's why it says you don't glean the field. The owner of the field does not glean the field, because that's left for others who will come and do that.
Like dumpster.
Huh?
Like dumpster.
Not exactly. It's just that they don't care because it's in good shape. This is not they've used it and thrown it out. That's what's in the dumpster.
No, dumpster is like stuff that the shop has thrown out, but it still might be good. They just can't sell it because it seems bad.
That's there, but that's
amongst all the others.
Yeah, I mean saying that's better than what's actually in the dumpster.
Yeah.
But what we're saying here is that it falls as part of the thing, so they're not making a decision they don't want this. It's just there. You know. Does that make sense? You know, like there's people in Calcutta that work that they sit there and I'm not sure what they sweep with, probably like toothbrushes and stuff. The sidewalks and alleyways around where they do all the gold work. Because just, you know, what they're dealing in is such fine dust that somehow or another it gets on clothing, shoes and that, so it's around there. So they can sweep that and actually, and you know, purify and actually get gold that they can live off of. You know, I haven't heard that it's a really opulent lifestyle, but it gets them by. Right? You know. So that's what it's meaning. But yeah, the modern form would be dumpstering. There it is. Like you said. Okay. In other words, he picks up grains left in the field and on the ground in the wholesale market, right? Because it's the wholesale market. Retail, you won't find much. The wholesale, because they're dealing, you know, they only sell minimum 5 kilos. So, you know, a few hundred grams is left on the ground. They're not going to worry about it. So then you come and sweep that all up, then you have something. You know, it'll all be mixed, but then you have the what do you call it? No, it's not a strainer. It's a
sieve.
Huh?
Sieve?
No, it's not a sieve. It's shaped in this. It's round at the back, flat in the front. You put the stuff in and go like this, and it separates light and heavy.
On the tray.
No, it's the front square. It's round at the back. Huh? No, sifting has holes. This doesn't have holes. It's made of woven bamboo. Oh well, whatever it is. Then you can take that and separate the different grains. So rice, dal, big grains, little small grains. Because it goes by weight.
No. It's not the thing that removes dust, like from the rice.
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
You can do all those things. Why does it remove dust? Because dust is lighter than the grains. Yeah. By this means, householder Brahmins who actually abide by the principles of austerity and penance maintain themselves and their families and perform all necessary pious activities. So this is their occupation. For those who are really serious about the Vedic principles, they live such a simple life, it's not dependent upon anybody, you know, like that. A Brahmana who desires to achieve happiness by gaining wealth through professional priesthood must certainly have a very low mind. How shall I accept such priesthood? Footnote 2, Srila Prabhupada comments. A pure Brahmana voluntarily accepts a life of poverty and lives in complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. So therefore they live by that. They'll use that, you know, because that'll be the least amount of a problem. He's making an effort, something is gained. Family won't complain. If he's on his own,
without family, then he can live by amrita, which means that just what comes without asking. But, you know, generally you have to have more faith to function by that system. So it's not a it's not recommended as a general occupation. But you see it's practiced much by very advanced persons, like the Python Sadhu and things like that. Begging is very standard, but then you have the element of that, you know, you have to be humble because people will be sometimes, won't interact properly. But it's still completely a bona fide system like that. So all these would be considered better than priesthood. Because priesthood, then you have to deal with the people, you have to impress the people, you always have to prove that you know what you're doing because they got money and they think they know everything, and you know, like that. So.
This kind of lifestyle seems like one that is, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like one that is pretty much possible for if you're in India. Because in Australia,
so you can't live by dumpstering in Australia.
No.
No, we've got food bank in Australia.
Huh?
We've got food bank in Australia. Food bank.
What's it?
Free food. Someone has said, they go there, carry the organization, they give you everything.
It's
for free.
Yeah, but is this amrita? Is this what we'll be counting?
That's not amrita. Amrita is you just do what you're doing and whatever comes to you, that's there.
Yeah, if I do that in Australia, nothing.
But here. Listen to what we're saying. It's an important part of what we're saying. Is that we said amrita because we talked about rita. Accepting what's left over that nobody wants. You know, so gleaning from the fields, from the marketplace, the dumpsters, or from the, what do you call it? Food bank. You know, or, you know, like that. You understand? So that's... That is what is there. One can also do begging. We were simply going through it that amrita is another of the six bona fide occupations, but it's not recommended for people in general because if you just sit there and just whatever comes, generally you wouldn't have dependents because dependents will always expect that you'll go out and do something and get more. Does that make sense?
Oh, you wouldn't have dependents.
Children, wife, pet parakeet, nothing.
Okay.
So it's not a recommended thing for general. Only very advanced personalities might use it. So when we say that, then you don't take it, well, I can't do that on Australia, but we're not on that level anyway. Because if you were on that level, it would work in Australia. You understand? If we're only going to take every word that comes out of this Srimad Bhagavatam and argue it down to its practical thing on how Australians themselves, you know, perceive, digest, and apply everything. The point is are there no such thing as people who others in the community consider saintly and they might go and they don't have a job, all they do is sit there at the church all day and do things, so, you know, the people go down and take them gifts of stuff. It doesn't happen? At this point, we're on the brink of me walking out and closing this class for the rest of the year. You have to understand that. We're supposed to get through 20 pages a day, and we get through one paragraph because you have to argue every word. You never try to understand what we're saying. You simply argue words. Try to figure out what we're saying. Otherwise, I was actually thinking before I came down here, do I want to do this? Really, literally, just as I'm coming out of the bathroom. Because I don't have time for this. This is sixth canto. What questions you're asking are year one in the first six chapters of Gita, which we don't mind. You're here, we adjust the mood for whoever is here, and therefore, you know, you need to be able to ask questions. But it's just like you have to argue it just because you can. I don't see any effort to try to understand. It's just you know, it just, boing, hey, what is that? You know, like that. Oh, hey, what? You know, it's never like, what's going on here? Where am I? What am I trying to do here? You know what I'm saying? Or take it that your experience in life is very narrow, and so therefore, you know, try to see if you can broaden it. But, you know, nobody, why is there a food bank? Right? Some guys down there at the food bank, you know, they got in their truck and went in the middle of the night and stole things from, you know, all the shops down there. They actually work hard to try to make connections and that, okay, you got food that you're getting rid of, that gives to us, then they have to get permissions from the government that they can actually use it and distribute it. They work very hard. So people do like to give in charity in this world. There's billions of dollars every year given in charity. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't, maybe you've never met a nice person in your life. But the point is the things exist. And one example is enough to understand. It's not that, oh, okay, maybe there's five guys like that, but I know another 100 that are not. We're not talking about those 100. We're talking about the five. We're talking about you. That's what we're talking about. You're not going to go live out of a dumpster in Australia, so why even bring the point up? You know, then after Australia, okay, maybe you could do it in Australia, but could you do it in New Zealand? Well, I really doubt you could do it in Tasmania. And then, you know, over if we try it over in Fiji, you know, all the locals there will come and take it all away from you anyway, so you can't do it over there. And then Papua New Guinea, well, they'll leave all the stuff that you took from the dumpster, and they'll eat you. You know, so it's like we could go on forever. There's 150 countries, and then they all have little areas and regions. And you understand? Try to understand the spirit of what we're talking about here, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to understand these subtleties. And then we're just constantly being reminded that, you know, an English word has 10 meanings, and that we're using one, and you're bringing up the other 9 one by one. Does that make sense? So ask questions. It's good. Think it's good. But think more than just what is the knee-jerk reaction. You know what I'm saying? Because all the questions today have all been knee-jerk. Every last one of them. You know? Oh, it says, no, but what are the women this? What about that? You know, it's just like, you know, think, what are we talking about? Try to understand what the words are intending, what they're meaning. Otherwise, literally, I am not doing this class anymore. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying about don't ask questions. I'm saying learn to ask proper questions. Because that means I got 150 pages to get through, and I can't do it at arguing over every word. I mean, literally, every word. There's not a sentence that you don't know, but it's a matter of what are they talking? There's a whole point that's here. Knowledge is very valuable. Wherever you can get it, take it. That's what's being brought out here. Now they moved on to the next point. It's that the Brahman tries to live the simplest life possible. It gives the least difficulty to himself and others. And then, you know, try to, so if that means going out and getting a job, not living out of a dumpster, then you do it. He's just pointing out that he could live by Ritta, but, and he has no need to do a yajna for the demigods. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't need their positions that they'll offer. He doesn't need their respect. He's fine as he is. But he's willing to do it out of respect for them because they do so many nice things for the universe. They manage the universe. So he respects that. Plus they're senior to him because they're his uncles. Does that make sense? That's what we're trying to do. So the point is having doubts, having, but that's great, but this is sixth canto. Think it through a bit. Don't just initial words and that word is, you know, this word, and so therefore then that's all right if it's a one-off thing. Then it's great. It's fabulous because you're asking questions and people will get interested in all that. So if you're in an environment that'll start that's great. It's fabulous. But in this, we're trying to analyze the subtleties here. What's the difference between living by Ritta and living by Yajana? Because in our society, you got to be crazy to even try to live by Yajana. You go to do a yajna, they're not going to give you anything. You know? It's like you know, oh, I gave him a dhoti. But you ruined the dhoti to do the yajna. You get ghee on it. You get burnt holes in it. You know, you get soot on it and all this. And then they're, you know, God's gift to the world. They gave you a dhoti. Whoopee. That's what you have to put up with doing, being a yajna. Being constantly from beginning to end insulted by whoever you're working with. Beginning to end. There's nothing that they do right. Because they always think they're superior because they have money. You know, and so it's just a job. You call a plumber, you call an electrician, you call a priest. So we're trying to point out that that's why Vishwarupa is saying, therefore, it's not considered the best thing. But compared to what we do for a living, you know, from the Western world, it's really good. So if a devotee would, you know, teach classes, do yajnas, do pujas, and do astrology or do something like this, you know, some vastu, he's really brahminical that he's willing to live that lifestyle. And that's in a culture that doesn't respect Brahmins, so he has to do so many occupations to get by, which Mana mentions. You can live by one, two, three, you can live by however many works. So nowadays you'd have to use all of those to make it work. But he's talking about, he's in a position, he can work beyond that. So therefore, he can just live by Rita. He's not saying he's living by Amrita. That's the Python Sutta. We'll meet that guy in the 11th canto. Like that. I just referred to it. That wasn't the discussion. The discussion is the difference between Rita and Yajna here. That's what we're trying to discern, that there's some subtleties here. Does this make sense? Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
No, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of you've been in on conversations where we just discuss and it's just that's what's on the floor, so it doesn't matter where it goes. You understand? So that kind of question you're doing is really good because it opens up the conversation. And it gets you a topic, you discuss about it. But when we're trying to discuss these fine points that are now coming up here in the sixth canto, because before these weren't so fine. Even through the fifth canto, they're fine enough, but here they're really getting into finer stuff, because we're trying to closer and closer get what's exactly pure devotion. You know what I'm saying? So then the means that there's not an understanding of something that has to be dealt with, yes. But we have to be careful. It's not arguing over the words. It's actually you understand that there is such a thing as pramrita, and amrita, rita, you know, satyanrita, and then what's the difference here? What's the mood? Because we're not talking about the externals here. We're using the medium of the externals to discuss it, but we're actually discussing what's the mood of it. So that's the problem. The questions are about the thing itself, but we're talking about what's the mood of it. Now, if you don't see how that matches the mood, you can see the mood, and you're seeing the application, and you don't see where that connects. That's also a good question. But when we're talking about the mood and the subtlety of it, and you're just talking about the externals of it, they're not connected. That's what we're talking about. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter of, you just have to take it a bit further. Like, how would you apply it? You know what I'm saying? It means if you are sincerely thinking, okay, when I go back to Australia, I'm going to, you know, do the dumpster program, you know, because I want to live by Rita, then, okay, maybe we have a discussion, but we're not technically discussing how to live by that. We're talking about the difference between Yajna and this. You know what I'm saying?
So I have tried to live like that. That's why I'm asking. But it's not the right time to ask.
We're trying to move forward on this, and that you have questions is very good, so we don't want you to stop asking questions. It's just that you have to think about, you know, what is the point that's being made. Does that make sense? And if you keep it to that, then we can go on however far we do. That's why we run the class this way. Your standard modern thing is there's a certain amount of material that gets through today, and hell or high water, they'll do it, whether you understand it or not, and they really don't care. Right? So as long as everybody at the end of the year gets, you know, somewhat similar grades, then they can put a curve on it, and whoopee, everybody's happy. But here we move, you know, so therefore one class we might go through one paragraph only. Or one, we've done things, the first sentence, we never got farther. And other days we do 20 pages. So it, that's not the point. Does that make sense? It's not a matter of disappointing. It's a matter of you haven't been at the classes for a while, so it's moved up to another level, and so you just have to come up to speed with the level we're on. So in other words, these questions, when you were here before, would have worked because we were in fourth canto then. But since then, we've gone fifth canto and now we're in sixth canto. So therefore, the flavor of it's slightly more subtle. That's all. You understand? So it's just a matter of that. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah. So don't worry. You're doing fine. Okay? Where were we? Okay, Vishwarup continued. O exalted governors of various planets, the true Brahmana who has no material possessions. No, we already did that. That Brahmana who's... Okay, so the point is a true Brahmin, a pure Brahmin, voluntarily accepts a life of poverty and lives in complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. So whatever the Lord arranges, by whatever services and that, you know, come up in the association of the Vaishnavas. So it may afford him more, it may afford him less, that's not the point. The point is to be engaged in service.
Is this related to Kapila's point in the third canto of your material life should be relatively easy to obtain? He makes that point to his mother, isn't
it? Yes, it should be easy. Yeah. In other words, it's something that you have an ability and that with a appropriate amount of endeavor, you get the results. If you have to endeavor too much, then that will take out of time what should be for, you know, personal development, family, sadhana, like this. And if you don't put in enough effort, then you're going to become more and more lazy. So instead of engaging body, mind, and words, then you will miss that point.
Yeah.
So
according to one's nature.
Yes, so according to one's nature, if you can do it, then that can be done nicely. Like that. Because generally nowadays, you have to use a combination. That's what we're saying. So some, they're just satisfied with whatever they get. It comes like that. So you see, like Sudama Vipra, he didn't use much at all. Right? We don't hear of him having an occupation as such. So he was definitely not a priest. So whether he lived by begging, whether he learned by Rita or Amrita, it's not quite sure because he didn't hardly have anything. Right? So therefore then his wife was saying, by this occupation you're not getting anywhere. Therefore, when we drop out of these ones that we mentioned, so priesthood and that is proper. This would be within your... In other words, you have your various categories. Right? In other words, the first category would be your recommended brahminical activities in their natural form. Yeah. Right? Of this, then he's pointing out that Rita is considered better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, than being a priest.
Yes.
Like that. Right? Yeah. But then if you can't maintain yourself like this, then you can, as alternative, beg from kings.
Mm-hmm.
So generally that's not done because whatever money the kings have, they've gained it through taxes, duties, fines, and all that, so it carries karma with it.
So now we're thinking about the brahmana's bhajan, his own bhajan, not in terms of preaching, but his own purity.
Just his own as an occupation as a brahmana.
Yes, yes.
Right? We're not talking about the ashram side of it, meaning just his devotional.
Yes.
We're just that. So therefore, begging from kings. That's why his wife said, you're not getting anywhere by this, therefore, why don't you go beg from the king? And so therefore, he knows Krishna, and therefore, why not him? You know what I'm saying? So it's within his occupation, but it's actually a step lower because it's an emergency. He's not getting anything.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, another alternative is therefore do yajnas and that for people that aren't so qualified.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Maharaj, devotees, if they maintain themselves by preaching only, by collecting donations, then this karma aspect applies there also, right?
It applies anywhere.
So they do get the karma. Hmm.
Something, yeah.
But
that's why we have sadhana, we're engaged in Krishna's service, so it's all for Krishna, so we'll let Krishna worry about it. We're not worried about it. So we're not trying to clear the karma by doing this and that. And
whatever.
That's the thing, is we're not worried, okay, I have to do chant more rounds because I did the yajna, I got to purify myself. No, we just serve Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why they could do by this, they could, you know, book distribution, probably recommended. Grass is one to do book distribution, then 25% of the collection they can keep for themselves. 75% they give to the temple or wherever they get the books from. Right? Does that make sense?
In this, the best one would be, as you mentioned, teaching and scripture, what you get directly through the teaching.
You can do that, but that's hardly, you know, then... How many are respecting that? Because if you're just teaching Bhagavatam and that, who's going to take care of you? You know, you're running a self-help seminar and all that, and you know, and it's a couple of $100 a seat. Then okay, now we're talking. Then you can teach Bhagavatam. Yeah, you can do that. that one. How you say? Yeah. You could do that. You know, is that the other classes are free, and that one then you're gonna. You want to know how to manage? Okay, that'll cost you. But you want to know how to go back to Godhead? That would be a very nice way to combine the two. You know.
Papa and Papa is teaching and studying, and Rita, he goes after that, or just.
No, these are basically, and the thing is that you're. This is another way of putting together the. See. This is then when you're taking the Brahman as occupation, right? Then these are the six occupations. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas follow three, not six. So they study for themselves, do their own yajnas, and give in charity.
That's money.
Yes. So that's what this is talking about. The other talking about, that's from the ashram side. You understand? Is that the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, and then the brahmanas themselves, they would live by those methods. You know what I'm saying? So you know, I'm sure that there's some way that they're connected. But I'm not sure, I think one time we came across it, I think either Prabhupada or somebody was making a connection between them. But it's been a while, so I don't remember the detail. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Sukadeva Goswami, continue. I think the last sentence. Therefore, although accepting priesthood is sometimes reproachable, sometimes, not always, I cannot refuse even a small request from you, whether it's reproachable or not. I agree to be your priest. I shall fulfill your request by dedicating my life and possessions. Right? So you, means priesthood, you have to look. Maybe it is valuable to be a priest for that. In some situations, you want to be very careful. Right? Yeah. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, after making this promise to the demigods, the exalted Vishwarup, surrounded by the demigods, perform the necessary priestly activities with great enthusiasm and attention. Right? Because their mood is good and they're showing proper also, you know, enthusiasm and attention. So then he's responding that way. Because that's the how they got themselves in trouble, is they didn't do this. Right? So therefore they lost their priest. Now they're behaving, now if they had behaved that way when Brihaspati had come into the assembly and they all stopped their talking, stood up and received him, please come and sit. Indra's sitting there, you know, either he has thrones for special guests like that, it's arranged, or he sits them on his throne, then they wouldn't have any of this problem at all. But since they didn't, then they lose their position. And now, having understood that, now they're applying it properly with Vishwarup, so now everything's going back to normal. That's it.
Srila Prabhupada comments. The word samadhi na is very important. Samadhi means complete absorption with the undiverted mind. Vishwarupa, who is a most learned brahmana, not only accepted the request of the demigods, but took their request seriously and performed the activities of priesthood with an undiverted mind. In other words, he accepted the priesthood not for material gain, but to profit the demigods, right? So that's the priest is supposed to be doing it from that level. Problem is most aren't used to that. In other words, if you came in as a priest and were very professional, then the managers would actually relate to you better. You know, you want this, I want it like this, and let's work this out. They would think, okay, yeah, I like this guy, you know, like that, because it's just business. But what's talked about here is that you're doing it for their benefit. So that means sometimes what they want to do may be good for them, may not be good for them. So you're going to tell them, no, this would be better. Well, the other thing is this is what we do. You know, well, this is what we want. Okay, well, how can we work this out? And then, okay, like this, and then it's done. But it's not about whether the other person gets the most benefit. It's just he's pleased, he pays the money. You understand? So that's the difference here. So the one requires culture, and the other requires being a quote-unquote professional. Like that. So we have to remember that being a professional nowadays is totally overrated.
Yes, it's uncultured.
Because most people don't even know what a professional is. Like that. Such is the duty of a priest. The word pura means family, and hita means benefit. Thus, the word purohita indicates that the priest is the well-wisher of the family. Purohita, right? Purohitam yagyasya devam. Purohitam. Yeah, because there it's instead of saying purohit, it says purohitam. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the first verses of Rigor Atharva Veda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe the Rig Veda. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thus, the Purohita indicates that the priest is the well-wisher of the family. Another meaning of the word Puraha is first. A priest's first duty is to see that his disciples benefit spiritually and materially by all means. Then he is satisfied. A priest should never be interested in performing Vedic rituals for his personal benefit, right? So that's the whole point. We're not trying to do it for our personal benefit. We're trying to do it for others' benefit. Right? So that's the whole point. So then that has to be reciprocated. If we want them to surrender and do things properly according to their duty, we have to therefore, like Indra and them, reciprocate properly by the proper respect and dealings. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, it doesn't always match up. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you have the big businessman, he does yagyas, but he's the businessman. And he gets yagyas because it'll help, you know, he's pious. One, it'll be communal-wise, he's known. He's also heard from the authorities how doing yagyas is beneficial for you and all that. So it's just part of his being a Vaishya. Rather than, no, he is a Vaishya, has to respect the Brahmins, and therefore he's getting their association, they're benefiting and all that. There's a big difference on how that approaches. Because the one is you're humble, the other is you're the big God. So in other words, if the priests are all sitting around there, you know, having to be humble to deal with the guy,
yeah,
then there's something seriously wrong. Sukadeva Goswami can, yes.
And then for this businessman, for example, it's better for him not to do yagyas?
Depends. If it's going to be the point where it's actually insulting, yeah, better he doesn't do it. Because it said, better to not do a yagya than to do one and not give the proper remuneration.
And maybe a related topic. Sometimes we see people pious, and they go around, go over that.
Right.
For their business, for whatever reason.
Then that's their approaching Krishna.
it's not better than they don't do.
But no, that's fine.
Because it's directly teaching.
Because it's something, in other words, who are they going to insult? No, what I'm saying, they go around Govardhan. Who's the only one that can get upset? Okay, maybe you upset Govardhan, okay. But if you upset the Brahmana, then that's more of a problem, because that's our connection to Krishna. Is that what I'm saying? So that's why we're more careful. You know what I'm saying? So you're doing puja for Krishna and you're a little miserly, it's not good. But if you're miserly with, you know, the priests, then that's worse. You know, the other's not good either. So both one should not do either of them. But the point is, you know, especially in Vrindavan, you know, they all go and all this and that. And so the point is they're in a different category. In general, if the guy's coming up from Delhi and then going around and all that, then that's it's pious. At least they're going around Govardhan instead of going around the bars, you know. You know, that's also, you know, a tour. You know, they go bar to bar, you know, like that, or, you know, like that, party to party. You know, there's the party, the after party, and the after after party. And then there's...
He's on his way to
Yeah, the after, 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 after party. It's 11 in the morning. Really?
What day?
It's Tuesday already.
What year is it?
Yeah, that's really getting extreme. Okay. A priest's first duty is to see that his disciples benefit spiritually and material by all means. Then he is satisfied. Then the priest is satisfied. A priest should never be interested in performing Vedic rituals for his personal benefit. Shri Sukadeva Goswami. Is that okay? So in other words, they're doing something connected to devotional service is better than nothing. We're talking about the rituals themselves. You know, so the point is it's better not to do them than to do them badly. But it's even better to do them properly. So rather than say, oh, well, then we can't do it, we'll just give them up. Then how is that an option? Mm-hmm. Now, you're supposed to do them, therefore, do them properly. Mm-hmm. So these rules by the Vedas are not so that one gives it up. They're being done there so that you improve the quality. Right? Does that make sense? Unless it's something you're not supposed to be doing. You know, your neighbor is going to do an Ashwamedha Yajna or something. No, they don't need to do that. Huh? Yes. We couldn't find a horse, but we have one of the local dogs. Would that work? I didn't mention who the neighbors were. Okay. Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued. The opulence of the demons, who are generally known as the enemies of the demigods, was protected by the talents and tactics of Sukracharya. And Vishwarup, who was most powerful, composed a protective prayer known as the Narayana Kavacha. By this intelligent mantra, he took away the opulence of the demons and gave it to Mahendra, the king of heaven. Vishwarup, who was most liberal, spoke to King Indra, Sahasraksha. Because he has Sahasraksha, Sahasrapata, part of Purusha Shukta. Because I guess it means that Krishna, who's the Indra, or the Lord of everything. So he spoke to King Indra, Sahasraksha, the secret hymn that protected Indra and conquered the military power of the demons. In his purport to verse 39, Srila Prabhupada comments. The distinction between the demigods, devas, and demons, asuras, is that the demigods are all devotees of Lord Vishnu, whereas the demons are devotees of demigods like Shiva, goddess Kali, and goddess Durga. Sometimes the demons are also devotees of Lord Brahma. For example, Hiranyakashipu was a devotee of Lord Brahma. Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva, and Mahishasura was a devotee of goddess Durga. The demigods are devotees of Lord Vishnu, Vishnu Bhakta Srito Daiva, whereas the demons, Asuras Tad Viparyaya, are always against the Vishnu Bhaktas or Vaishnavas. To oppose the Vaishnavas, the demons became devotees of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Kali, Durga, and so on. So just to oppose them, they become, you know, well, they are going to worship Vishnu, we're going to worship somebody else, you know, like that. So, Yeah.
Just on this point about the proper attitude in the Yajna. Do I remember correctly if it said somewhere that offending a Brahmin is as bad as stealing?
Offending a Brahmin is bad as, yes, money.
Yeah.
But that means that specifically doesn't mean just you upset him like that.
Okay.
That means where you blaspheme Brahmin.
Cool. Yeah.
You speak badly about them.
Okay.
In other words, you try to defame them.
Yes.
That's as bad as killing. Because for Brahmin, then his reputation is important.
Yeah.
So you get rid of his reputation. So that's nowadays, it's specifically gone after. I've even seen where someone doesn't have a position there, can't do anything. And they can't get anywhere, then they just try to defame them, so that, because their thing is, no, they should suffer. So they try to defame them, even though they don't have a position. There's no, what would it be? I don't have a legal assistance. It means that there's no prima facie. You know, it means legally it wouldn't be accepted in court. There's not enough grounds to that it would be considered.
Yeah.
So they don't have evidence, they don't have this, that. They just have enough envy that they're making the effort.
This is Vitanda. And logic is
just saying something.
Just go ad hominem. Just go.
Yeah, that would be that. Yeah. It would just be that. It's just envy. So then that is equal to killing a Brahmin, because now, you know, you may say, oh, it's just some words, oh, I just felt bad, but the point is you felt bad, then it goes away. That what you've said is gonna I've had things, seen them come up after years and years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone said something like that. And then I dealt, you know, had to deal and talk and everything like this. It was about someone else, but deal. And then because people talk, then, you know, it goes around the grapevine and then it hits somewhere else and wants to make an issue out of it. 6 months later and that, and it's like, no, we've already dealt with that. Like this or that. Then, you know, that's from the same country. And then a couple of years later from the same country again.
Mm-hmm.
Then 3 years later from another country halfway around the planet. Oh, we heard this, as if it's fresh, it happened today.
Yeah.
Says, no, that's old, we've already dealt with it. No, but you know, what about, you know, why do we know it's dealt with? How do we know that you're not covering it? It's just like, so that's the problem. Is people, you know, it's gossip is more important than, you know, how you say, than the absolute truth. Because the point is there's always something nonsensical to talk about in the material world. It's always. So if you want, it's always there. If you want to go back to Godhead, it's a whole different discussion. So in other words, we have our preference for the simpler life and all that, but it's not about the simple life. That's not what makes us there. Therefore, you can have a Brahmin that has great opulence or a Brahmin is very simple. Point is he lives as simply as comes easy. You know what I'm saying? Dronacharya, he's teaching his weaponry, and he's living very simply. Then he teaches for the kings, and now he's very opulent. But it's no more endeavor for him. You know? You understand? So he's not doing more work. He's doing the same work, but in one, he gets very, not even enough that he can get milk, you know, get a cow for his child to have milk. And the other is that, you know, it's basically the kingdom's his. So it's just a matter of who your students are.
Why not?
Yeah. You know, so for the benefit of his family, he went for the other. For himself, he was quite happy with the simple. But because people were insulting his son, who was a proper Brahmin. You know, Ashwatthama was a powerful Brahmin. Therefore, then for his benefit, then he got, you know, he then was teaching the kings as opposed to just other people. So, yes.
What are the case of Brahmins who don't follow the duties they neglect?
To that degree they're Brahmin, to that degree it applies. To that degree they're not, to that degree it doesn't apply. Yeah, but you see something. They'll do some puja, some this. There means, in other words, even a modern day smarta, there's a good chance he still washes his feet after he goes in the bathroom. Right? We have pujaris who don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that there's still some Brahminical things. So to that degree it's there, to that degree it's a problem.
I think Siddhanta Saraswati also makes the point in Brahmana and Vaishnava that they are considered Brahmins.
Yes.
But mainly because we don't want to discourage them. So So it's not like a position. It's not something that...
Yeah, we don't want to discourage. And also is that the Vedic position has a value. Just like Manu mentions, giving charity to an ordinary person, you'll get the same amount of money back in the future. But if you give to someone who's not a Brahmin, but who dresses as one and presents himself as one, you'll get double back. Just because you've respected that position, that kind of thing. Because the point is they are sannyasis. Maybe they're not, they don't know what sannyas is for, but they're following the lifestyle, so therefore we're respecting them. Yeah, because there are those who follow very strictly the sannyas dharma. They don't know what to use it for, just like the smartas are using grihastha dharma, but they don't know what it's for. So it's to be respected. Right? So that's why Prabhupada says, dead or alive, an elephant's worth a lakh of rupees. You know? That's worth a little bit more. Sorry?
How, like a
palace? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe we should just say a lakh, and then they say a lakh of what? Just leave it there. Yes. We'll leave it to your imagination. Does that work? So all these things, that's why you have to know it so well, because you have to judge everything together, the whole thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, because like you might find smartas that when it comes to occupation or the business of that, they may be a little bit slippery there, but in their personal life at home, then they deal very nicely. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, or those who go out, they do the ritual, very pukka, everything right, but when they go home, they don't care. So then you have to judge what's going on. Oh, okay. That's that chapter. Important verse. Magavan dvishata pashya pakshinan guravati kramat samprat yupa chinan bhuya kavyam aradhya bhaktita adhadhiram nilanayam nilayanam mamapi bhrigu devata. O Indra, your enemies, the demons, were extremely weak because of their disrespect towards Sukracharya. Right? Because they don't care. They're enjoying the facilities. What do they care about the Guru? But since they have now worshipped Sukracharya with great devotion, they have again become powerful. By their devotion to Sukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that now they are even able to easily seize my abode from me. So saying they have again become powerful means they have in the past respected their seniors and been powerful. Then now they gave it up, and so then they go down, and again they are, and now they're coming back. So that's the whole point of the Vedic system, is there's never a situation where you're going to be stuck like that. Right? Does that make sense?
Except for Loka Vrindavan.
Sorry?
Except for Loka Vrindavan.
Meaning? Once you go there, you might come here to preach, but... So once you're situated on the transcendental platform, then that potency is there. That's always there. But on the material platform, then. But throwing it on the girl is not exactly the best option. No, just let it crawl in your book and then pick it up and take it outside. Yeah, but he's small, but it's just still dangerous. Okay, he's underneath, leave him there. Then you can deal with him when you pick up the match. Then you just pick everything up and he'll leave because there's nothing else to do.
Okay. Good excited.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
chapter 8. The Narayan Kavacha shield. Pratigya. This prayer, Narayan Kavacha, constitutes subtle knowledge transcendentally connected with Narayana. One who employs this prayer is never disturbed or put in danger by the government, by plunderers, by evil demons, or by any type of disease. Right? So in other words, the subtlety is the thing of this Narayana Kavacha. We'll look at it from, you know, how do we put it on, you know, so this and that, but it's not about that. It's about seeing the connection. As your Prabhupada mentions, I think it was Jai Patakamaj. He was very sick and all that, and because it mentioned it would get rid of disease, so he was chanting the Narayan Kavacha. And then Prabhupada says, no, don't do that, just chant Hare Krishna, because the Narayan Kavacha can only be put on by the demigods. They only have enough focus and concentration that they can use it as a kavacha, like that. We can use it by understanding the subtleties of knowledge that connects everything to the Lord. That will get benefited by that aspect. But the actual being able to exactly say the syllables properly, put them on, because you have to put the thing on forward and backwards. So you can't be going, na, ra, and, because that in between, you go, na, ra, that's not a word. So they can say it exact, do the whole thing and all that with full concentration, and so then they can use it like that. But we can understand the knowledge, that's how we'll benefit. So that's why it's here. So the demigods, they're getting the kavacha because it'll protect them from the demons. We're hearing about it because then it gives the knowledge of the Lord. Right, so it doesn't matter how they're using it. Just like the Guhya, what was it? The Hamsa Guhya prayers. Daksha's using it as Bhakti Mishra Karma, but we're using it as pure devotion, understanding the knowledge about the Lord. So that's the whole thing: is that we can take from all these places, the culture and everything that they're doing is proper, is bona fide. Is that what it says? Yeah. The pratigya of this chapter is taken from verse 37. Srila Prabhupada further explains the power of this mantra and reveals the proper way to receive and utilize such mantras in his purport to verse 42. This mystical mantric arma given by Vishwarup to Indra, the king of heaven, acted powerfully with the effect that Indra was able to conquer the asuras and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds without impediments. In this regard, Madhvacharya points out, Vidya karmani chasada gurov praptaf phalam pradaha anyatra naiva faladha prasannok ta phala pradaha. One must receive all kinds of mantras from a bona fide spiritual master, otherwise the mantra will not be fruitful. Right, so we just get it, we read it out of a book, we can read it in that, we won't get anything. It has to be gained from the spiritual master. So we're gaining this from Srila Prabhupada, the Parampara, who's getting from Sukracharya. I mean, not Sukracharya. That was the previous chapter. Sukadev Goswami. Kumquat, mango. Kumquat. Yeah. So that way, then. What we'll get from it is the Krishna conscious aspect of it. Like that. Does that make sense? So we're not using it how the demigods are using it, because it's not for us. It was designed, because it was created by Tvashta for the demigods. It wasn't created by him, I mean not Tvashta, I mean Vishwarup. It's for them, it's not for us. But the transcendental knowledge of it, that's for any devotee. Does that make sense? So that's where, therefore, we've received it from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, it'll have fruit. So we hear about it, we'll become Krishna conscious. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole thing. Right? So your government then just are, you know, being disturbed by the environment. You know, like that plunders means you have our six friends, you know, lust, anger, greed, envy, attachment, illusion, and madness. You know, evil demons, you know, all the, inappropriate desires and feelings we have, and disease, just the material concept that I am this body and everything that, you know, connected to this body is mine, right? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's how it'll work for us. Right? And if you can put it on like they do and it works, then let us know, okay? But otherwise, then...
We'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, then otherwise, this is why it's here. Because it's for Paramahamsa, so they're not worried about it.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.